This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us on this Monday, January the 3rd. Happy New Year. Hope you had a great New Year's weekend, a safe one. And we hope, it's going to be a much better year than it was in 2021 for most all of us. In a few minutes, Myron Ebell of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to be here. We're going to talk about the Biden administration's new fuel economy rule. Myron thinks it's a disaster, and we're going to talk about it, so stay tuned for it. And New York State has declared racism a public health crisis, including passing a package of bills somehow to offset racism. What exactly are, what's this all about? We're going to get some thoughts on this and other things with the Ceresi brothers. Andrew and Angela both grew up in the Empire State. I want to find out what they think about this bill. And we'll be talking with them a bit later in the show. And the 10 Republicans most likely to run for president. We tried to get this story in last show, but we didn't get time. We didn't have time, frankly. We had a lot of things going on. So we're going to try again. The 10 Republicans most likely to run for president in 2024. And in our ultimate top 10, we did in our last show in 2021, the 10 brightest states in America. So today we're going to give you the 10 dumbest states, the 10 dumbest states in America. So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored, as we have been for many years, by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For my money, it is the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. You know, there aren't that many barbershops. Plain, you know, regular men's barbershops anymore. You got all these salons and this and that. It's hard to find a good barbershop, is it not? Used to be you'd see the barber pole dotted, along the highway in towns and everything. Not anymore. But Andrew's Master Barbershop is in the Overcash Plaza, which is in Dunedin. It is just off State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773, 3773, Andrew's Master Barbershop. All right, well, of course, we're hoping for better things this year, and one of the things that is kind of depressing, I guess, they do, you know, polls. I never know how much you can trust these things, but according to this poll done by the Washington Post and Maryland University, one-third of Americans say violence against the government is sometimes justified. 34%. Violence against the government is sometimes justified. This result, of course, coming about a year after the January 6th, 2021, I call it riot at the Capitol building. Those that are really down on those people call it an insurrection. That's when a bunch of supporters of Donald Trump stormed the Capitol building. A lot of them did think that there was a little bit of hanky-panky going on with the voting. And Trump certainly encouraged it, did he not? But anyway, these results come a year after that. And 40% of Republicans agree it could sometimes be justified to commit violence against the government. 23% of Democrats and 41% of independents think violence is sometimes justified. Of those who agree that rising up against the government would be acceptable, 22% of those said it would be justified for the following reason: invasions of personal liberties. 15% said a military takeover or democratic collapse would be justifying violence against the government. Only 3% said violence was appropriate if the government did not accept election results. So that's kind of an interesting poll. Since the Washington Post and University of Maryland conducted it, it usually skews a little bit liberal, I would tell you. But nonetheless, I mean, if you think about it, if you were asked, is violence ever acceptable against the government? Well, you can come up with a reason. If all of a sudden the government becomes a complete tyrannical mess, like in some countries, God forbid it happens here, but you could see where people, I mean, what do you think people in Cuba must have felt when Fidel Castro took over and all of the killings and everything else went on? I'm sure a lot of people thought violence against the government at that point was all right. Got a couple of minutes before we take our break, and I want to talk a little bit about the upcoming year on the Supreme Court. We've got some big cases coming up, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the late justice of the Supreme Court, once said that it's hard not to have a big year at the Supreme Court. Well, they got a big year this year. Just a partial list of what's coming. Abortion. We're awaiting a decision in the Dobbs versus Jackson, Mississippi Women's Health Organization. At issue, can Mississippi impose a 15-week limit on abortions? And then we got gun rights coming up. New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin. It is apparently a gun law that a lot of people question the quality of the way it was drafted. And in the latest, what they call badly drafted gun law to go before the court, New York has forced a challenge that could result in a major ruling reinforcing individual rights under the Second Amendment. New taxes. I'm sorry, new cases. I misread that. New cases. They've got, let's see. While not often discussed with the matinee cases, one case on the docket that could bring sweeping impact across various areas, from environment to finance to hospitals, it's the American Hospital Association versus Pacera, a question of U.S. Department of Health and Human Services rule that cuts outpatient drug reimbursements to hospitals. It's based on an agency interpretation of a vague statutory provision that was defended under the deference afforded to agency decisions. I don't actually know what the hell I'm reading here. But anyway, there are a lot of cases that are going to be coming up that are very, very big. That is for sure. All right, let us take our break, and we're going to turn our attention to the Biden administration's new fuel economy rule. We're going to talk with Myron Ebell. He thinks it's a disaster.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I took my troubles down to Madam Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold cap too. She's got a hat on 34th and Vine, selling little bottles of love potion.
Hey, we are back. Our first show of the new year. My God, we've been doing this thing, Ed. Freedom Work's been around for 17 years now, and we're just delighted to be here, going into our 18th year. And one of the people we've had on over the years that we love is Myron Ebell of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He is the director of the Center on Energy and Environment. And we got a new fuel rule coming out of the EPA under Joe Biden, President Biden, a fuel economy rule. And Myron, you don't think it's a very good rule. Welcome back, and tell us all about this Biden fuel economy rule.
Good morning, Paul. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, buddy.
Well, it's right before Christmas, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, promulgated two new rules. One, significantly increasing the requirements for fuel economy in the next 5 years. And then a couple days later, they promulgated a new rule that said, well, actually, we'll put California back in charge of fuel economy for vehicles, and they can go as far as they want. So now California is in charge of setting fuel economy for the entire country.
Oh, no. We don't want that. We don't. California, nothing good is happening there. First of all, I don't want to pay $5 a gallon of gas. I'm going to stay out of that state. But Let me back up a little bit, Myron. Why does the federal government think that somehow it is going to do a better job of reducing pollution in this country with all of these rules? Haven't they realized these things never work? And if I might use a pun, speaking about cars, they'll backfire.
Well, yeah, that's right. But of course, one of the things that these rules do is they increase the cost of vehicle. So, you know, if you can price people out of cars, you're going to reduce greenhouse gas.
Yeah, we're all walking.
They'll all be walking and biking.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm sure everybody who's listening has noticed that the price of new cars over the last 10, 15 years have just gone through the roof, and I think the rate of increase has gone up the last couple of years.
I mean, it's just unbelievable, especially when you're talking about cars and the cost of cars. Used cars, for some reason, that is really unbelievable. Those used car salesmen, we used to laugh at them. They're probably making a good buck these days selling used cars. I get the impression that the cars are at a premium. But so we've got the EPA, which, you know, is another thing that scares me, the Environmental Protection Agency. Of course, if you're a libertarian, any of these organizations where they put their fingers into the free market scare you, you know. But what has prompted this one, and specifically, what will these rules do? I mean, are they going to mandate that states get to a certain level of car emission pollution? What exactly is it going to do?
Well, first of all, this Paul, this story goes way back to the financial crash at the end of the Bush administration in 2008, and the bailout was not only of the Wall Street banks, but it was also for the auto industry. So General Motors in particular and also Fiat Chrysler became totally dependent upon government, and they just take their orders from government, not from their customers. So what the Obama EPA did was to say, well, we're going to radically up the rate of required fuel efficiency improvements, and we're going to give California a waiver under the Clean Air Act so that they can do whatever they want.
Okay.
The Trump administration took everything back and said, no, California doesn't get to decide auto policy for the country, and we're going to reduce the increase in fuel economy. So Biden is just really going back to what Obama did and saying, no, we're in charge, and we can decide better what kind of vehicles drivers should have. And so what they're doing is they're pushing everybody into electric vehicles,
yeah,
whether they want an electric vehicle or not. And on the flip side of that, they're proposing that everybody get a big taxpayer subsidy if they buy an electric vehicle. So that was
part of what a mess that turns out to be.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
The CEI, you guys have gone, you're involved in a court action, right, on this?
That's right, and we'll be involved in litigation in these two new rules that came out last week.
Mm-hmm.
But there's ongoing litigation on the Trump rule, so it's very complicated. I don't know. I'm glad I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah, everything is getting complicated. You know, so many, and this goes back to the thing that's very scary. So many of these rules that are created under these, like the EPA and all of these things, are done by bureaucratic people that are not elected. And their own agendas get involved into the creation of this stuff. And then we get this mess that comes out like we do as a promulgation, in this case, from the executive department. I just sometimes wonder about the entire constitutionality of getting into the free market and saying, hey, over here, you guys over here, that's too much pollution, as opposed to you guys over there, well, you're not as bad as these guys. You know what I mean? It's just the finger of the federal government into all of this, and it never works. They're not going to reduce, with the electric cars and everything. It's going to be the free market that is going to create these new cars that are going to be able to work well to force... To put your finger on the scale like the federal government is doing, I just wonder how intelligent that really is.
Well, I agree. We have fought the first fuel vehicle economy standards. Vehicle fuel economy standards came out in the 1970s as a result of the Arab oil embargo and then the Nixon price controls, which reduced production of oil. Of petroleum. So we have been fighting these since the 1970s, well, since the 80s, because they didn't really come into effect until the 80s. And, people say that they want a car that gets better fuel economy, but that makes sense. I want that too. But it's a trade-off between performance, fuel economy, and safety. And so the federal government is saying that the only thing that's important is fuel economy and not the performance of the automobile, whether it does what you want it to do and whether it's safe.
Yes.
It's big enough to protect you in an auto accident. So we have, I think consumers, drivers, are better at choosing what kind of car is good for them and making those trade-offs than the federal government saying is really the only thing that counts is fuel economy.
Yeah, this is so true. We're talking with Myron Ebell. He's the director of the Center on Energy and Environment for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. They kind of stand watch for businesses and the free market. You know, it's got such a bad rap in Washington. If you have anything to do with capitalism, you're almost treated like a villain. But And we've got, you know, common sense has gone out the window, and especially when it comes to pollution. You know, especially when it comes to pollution. First of all, we're going around the world getting involved in all of these pollution control organizations. And you got China over here doing whatever the hell it wants to do, not even listening or doing anything about what pollution in their situation. It's so crazy. Nobody wants bad air or bad water in their backyard. That's just common sense, including businesses. And they certainly don't want their reputation of being polluters. They're doing everything that they can. Their reputation is at stake. Why buy a product if you think it's going to be a pollution machine, right? So the federal courts, do you think there's any chance that they can bring some semblance of sanity to this this new EPA fuel rule?
Yes. There was litigation that started in the Obama years, and it continued in the Trump years, and it will continue now. And I think there was a good chance of overturning or at least partially overturning these rules, especially the California waiver, putting California in charge of national policy. I think there was a good chance of that before Trump made his three appointments to the Supreme Court. I think with the new and improved Supreme Court, there's a much better chance.
Ah, we have a silver lining in the darkness that we've got all around us. We have a Supreme Court that might have put their finger in the dike, right?
They may.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too excited about it because you never know what the Supreme Court's going to do. But I'm much more hopeful than I was, 6 years ago.
Myron, I've got to ask you about your crystal ball prediction about the cost of gas. I mean, that's the one thing that really hurts everybody is the cost of gasoline, but especially the middle class and lower class people. And it may bring down the Democrats, I think. But is there any chance that we're going to get religion, maybe take a second look at pipelines in this country or whatever it is? Do you think the Biden administration is going to, in other words, going to do anything to help lower the price of gasoline?
I don't want to predict what the price of gasoline will be. I've discovered that's a you never know.
Yeah.
Even the best, the most expert analysis can be overturned by events. I don't think the Biden-Harris administration or the Democrats in Congress are going to take any significant action to undo all of the anti-energy things that they've already done.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, they're plowing ahead with more anti-energy things, which will raise the price not only of gasoline and diesel, but also of electricity. So they're just going full speed ahead on that. I hope they run out of gas.
Yes. Well, I mean, they're anti-fracking. They're anti-pipeline, except when it's in Germany and Russia. Then it's okay. I've never figured this one out. Why does he give a pass over there on that one and give his blessing? And then over here, the first thing he did was to shut down a pipeline. Or make sure that it didn't get finished.
Yeah, I think that they're deeply cynical. I don't trust anything that they do. So, and I think they're politically totally cynical. They will allow China and Russia to do things and look the other way, whereas Americans have to be told exactly what to do.
So you think in the short run prices are going to continue to go up, or is there any hope that they'll dip?
I have no prediction.
No prediction. Okay. I just thought I'd try to corner you, but I can't do it. You're too quick.
They may go up or they may go down.
All right, Myron. May I quote you on that?
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so very much for coming on to our show in the early dawn of 2022. We thank you so very much for that and look forward to talking with you again soon, my friend.
Thanks, Paul. Keep fighting.
All right, we will. All right, Myron Ebell. I don't know. I don't want to see any stinking $4 a gallon here in Florida, Ed. You know, that's such a... Although it seemed like they're going down a little bit, a few pennies. We'll see where that all goes.
Well, right? When you said, do you think they'll ever try to help bring the price down? I don't think so, because their thinking is if we raise the price, it will chase people into buying more electric cars.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Maybe that's what they want, huh? All right, let us take our break. When we come back, New York State has declared racism a public health crisis. Going to talk to at least one person from the Empire State about what he thinks.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for our first show of 2022. So great to be around and still doing the doggone show. And so great to have our two buddies, the Ceresi brothers, with us, both Angelo and Andrew. And guys, I thought about you when I found this story. New York Governor Kathy Hochul has signed a bill that went into effect over the weekend declaring racism a public health crisis. She signed a package of bills aimed at addressing racial injustice and promoting racial equity in the state. She said far too long, communities of color in New York have been held back by systemic racism and inequitable treatment. I am proud to sign legislation that addresses this crisis head on. So, Angelo, first of all, my question to you, you're still up there in New York. What the hell is she talking about? And what are they going to specifically be able to do to stop racism?
Well, you know, I think it's all a political thing. You know, she's going to run for governor now this year. And she's playing the political gamut about, you know, racism in New York State. It's a critical issue. This and that. I don't see it. I mean, it's...
I wonder how, you know, people that are racist, what legislation, you know, racist, first of all, everybody is being tainted with being racist. Blacks are being tainted with being racist against whites, and whites are being, and we got this thing at the front of our minds, Andrew. It's like, what, is this intentional? Is this a way of dividing the country? What do you think?
Well, I'd have to tell this woman to hit it. She's making no freaking sense. I'm tired of hearing this racist crap, and I'm tired of hearing COVID crap.
Yeah.
Okay? Look at how stupid the American people are. Lining up, going crazy for a COVID test for Omicron. It's a freaking cold, people. Get over it. Okay? This is the beginning of the end of all this crap. And the only crisis they're going to have to talk about when this is done is the economic crunch we're going to see with gas hitting $4 to $6 a gallon, inflation just in IKEA alone going to raise all their prices 9%. Tell them to keep their racism and keep their COVID. I'm tired of hearing their crap.
Yeah. Hey.
That's all that it is. It's the Democrats just keep playing that racist card constantly. And, you know, they're going into 22. It's a big election year this year.
Right.
And that's all they're doing is playing the racist card. New York State, California, you know, your typical Democratic states, that's all they do. Racism, racism, racism. In fact, the newspaper up here, our Democratic Chronicle, I'm canceling it because all of this has to do with racism. That's all of yesterday's paper was. equity this, equity that, nothing about what's going on in the world or what's going on in the country.
Yeah.
Racism.
You know, Paul, you can see how hypocritical these Democrats are. Look at Miss AOC partying here horrenda.
Yes, in Miami.
This weekend, no mask on, drinking martinis with her boyfriend.
Yes.
And she had the nerve to say that the Republicans are mad because they can't date her.
Yeah, she
is a freaking break.
She's
a one to begin with. She has no brain, okay? And then she sits there and opens her mouth. Where's Ron DeSantis? He's missing for 2 weeks. Well, she got it stuffed right up her New Year what when she found out he was with his wife.
He was with his wife.
Chemo treatments, okay?
Exactly. Exactly right.
What's wrong with these people? They're disgusting.
Yeah, for people
poop.
Yeah, for people that don't know, the Democrats and the liberal press went after Ron DeSantis for claiming that he was missing in action. Missing in action when indeed he was with his wife, who is on battling a cancer situation. And it made them look like, I mean, they must have melted when it came out that that's what he was doing. Boy, did they drop that issue like a hot potato.
They look like what they are, Paul.
Yeah.
They made them look like what they are.
What'd you say there, Angel? Sorry.
The only person missing is Brandon.
Yes. So, you know, we're going into 2022. Let me get, since I have both of you on, I know you're hoping for good things, and we're talking about some bad things that are going on right now, some very frustrating things. I mentioned this crazy bill in New York. It's sort of indicative of the nonsense, don't you think? Passing some sort of a anti-racist. I mean, what the hell? No one's going to say, well, I'm against the bill because I'm a racist. No one's going to say that. But what are they really going to do? The only thing they're going to do... The only thing going to, if you keep telling,
very racist.
If you keep telling people that they're racist, it actually works in reverse anyway. It actually, I think,
yes, it does.
It drums up racist sentiments.
They're turning people against each other. That's what they. That is their whole goal, is to turn Americans against each other. That's what the Nazis did in the 1930s, and the Bolsheviks, the communists, did. In 1917.
I think you're right. It's a divide and conquer. It's a Machiavellian divide and conquer.
Right.
It's a Marxist philosophy of divide and conquer.
Right.
You've got to get people upset.
The American people.
And then you're going to be the savior. That's kind of the way that works, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's all they're doing is playing the race card. They do that constantly. Racism, racism, racism. There's no racism in this country. You got blacks, you know, in the sports, in business, and everything else. I mean, the only ones who's playing that card are the Democrats. That's the only thing they can do. They have no solution to anything. None whatsoever.
Unless you throw money at it.
This country in almost 1 year's time. Inflation, gas prices at $3.50 a gallon that we're paying up here. I paid $4 a gallon for non-ethanol gas, right? Your groceries are going up. Everything's going up. And the American people have to ask themselves, are you better today in 2022 than you were in 2020?
I think there is I'm thinking it's you remember the word malaise? Both of you remember Jimmy Carter. We learned what the word malaise meant during the Carter administration. Do you guys both feel, Andrew? Do you feel there is a malaise that has descended over us right now again, like in Jimmy Carter's day?
there's a cloud over us, Paul, that they wouldn't imagine. It's a big black cloud, I call it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And you know what's amazing is the politicians are trying to divide us, the Democrat Party. But what really amazes me is the American people dividing us themselves. You got teachers preaching this crap to the kids. Okay, where do these teachers come from? They're trying to do the same thing. Instead of uniting this country, you got these teachers. They want to teach your critical race theory. And what is wrong with them?
Yeah, right. Hey, I want to turn a page here a little bit, guys. The 10 Republicans most likely to run for president in 2024. I'm going to list a few of them here, and then we can go back, maybe talk a little bit about it. Here are the 10. according to The Hill, which is an organization that has an online daily, they say Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Chris Christie, Nikki Haley, Ted Cruz, Mike Pompeo, Kristi Noem, Tom Cotton, and Larry Hogan. Those are the ones most likely to run. Guess who's noticeably missing, Andrew, from this list?
Ron DeSantis.
Ron DeSantis. And you would agree that he should be missing from this list, correct?
Exactly. Like I say, I think I know what's going to happen. I'm going to let it fall in place. We'll go from there.
Yeah. Okay. But are you willing to tell us what's going to happen?
No. I've already spoke before what I said, and I'm just playing my cards out and watch it happen.
All right, Angelo.
The other night, and it was, I think it was Hannity, or I forget which.
On Fox News.
Which one it was. On Fox News said that the nomination is there for Donald Trump if he wants it.
Mm-hmm.
It's his to take.
Well, it sounds like he wants it.
And you know what? More people I talk to hope that he does run again.
Yeah. Well,
and, you know, I would like to see Donald Trump run again. But if the Republicans, but this is what I really hope, that if the Republicans take control of the Congress and the Senate this year, November can't come soon enough. I hate to waste the whole year away, but
yes,
it can't come soon enough to get rid of these Democrats, that they take control, bring Pelosi up on charges, Schumer up on charges of sedition and treason, of trying to turn...
But, Angela, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. They're not going to bring up Pelosi and Schumer on sedition charges. They just aren't, as much as they've done bad things.
That would be a dream come true.
You know? Oh, I see what you mean. Well, yeah, in your fondest dreams, it might occur.
In my fondest dreams, yes.
Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Because let me tell you...
What they're trying to do is turn this country into a communist country.
Okay.
Let me tell you what I see happening with the Republicans. That whole list of people you named, all the rest other than Trump are rhinos, maybe Kristi Noem, okay? I'm not even crazy about...
What about Mike Pence? What about Mike Pence?
You can forget Mike Pence.
You called him a rhino?
He's a turncoat.
But you think he's a rhino?
A turncoat. I think he's a rhino turncoat.
A rhino.
Yes,
well,
sir.
What?
A rhino. He's been around. He goes with the party, and he'll go with the Democrats if he has to.
You think?
He knew what he had to do with the Electoral College, and he didn't have the cayunes to do it.
Okay, Andrew.
Go ahead. That's another questionable thing to do. You know what I mean? First of all, you can't overturn the election because Durham hasn't even brought any charges on anybody else, has he? What happened to all that deal? Right? What happened to all the stuff that was supposed to have taken place?
Okay, now you're talking about the 2016 election.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All during that time, even now, where's Durham with all the stuff that he's supposed to
do? He's moving like a snail on top of a turtle.
Right. I mean, so, you know, nothing's going to happen, right? How can you overturn an election when you don't even have all this stuff, what they did?
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Unless something is brought to light.
We can't go, yeah. What you're saying is if we can go back all the way back and sort of bring all of that out, right, now we can sort out exactly why we're at where we are now on
right.
this.
But nobody's okay. done anything.
Yeah.
You know, Paul,
and the Republicans, Mitch McConnell, nobody's pushed the issue. Where's Durham?
Right.
Where's Durham? All they ask about is, where's Brandon? You know?
Brandon.
You know,
hey, wait a second. Even Joe Biden cheered, "Let's go, Brandon."
That's right.
I know.
I mean, he's a big fan, too.
Yeah.
I tell you what you're going to see in 2022. You're going to see a lot of the old Republicans gone. I've been watching the Republican Party here. I can't believe they want to get rid of Gus Bilirakis.
Of course. When you say they, you mean the Republican Party?
The Republican Party down in Florida. They're done with Gus Bilirakis. They said he's a rhino. He's not doing anything. They want this young blood that's up there coming in.
How do you feel? How do you feel about that, Andrew? Are people like Gus Bilirakis, who's a congressman here in Pinellas, do you think he is sort of that way?
Well, you know, honestly, I think it's time for a change.
Okay.
You can't keep them all in here, Paul. That's why we need term limits.
Getting back to Donald Trump, it looks like he's dusting things off and getting ready. But, you know, we got another, We got almost three more years before that.
Yeah, three more years.
Anything can happen. Anything can happen.
Right. I would love to see the Republicans really take control.
Well, my point is that we talk about, I mean, let's be honest, between the three of us, if Ron DeSantis didn't have anything else going on, we would say he would make a good president, correct?
Absolutely, 100%.
And Andrew, you agree with that. He would make a good president, right?
Of course. There's no question about it. But exactly. I'd still like to see Trump handle it.
I got you. I know. But just thinking about all of that, that's still 3 years away.
That's right. A lot can happen. A lot can happen.
And by then, maybe Ron DeSantis will be ready to run.
I think by three more years, if we keep going the way that we're going, Xing Ho over there in China is going to be ruling us. Don't worry about a thing.
Well, that's another problem.
Xi Jinping.
Yeah. Well, we got the Taiwan situation. I mean, we're going to have to end our conversation here, guys, because we could talk forever, but we got Taiwan, we got Ukraine. You know, we got so many other things going on. We're entering 2022 with a lot of trepidation, a lot of optimism and hope, but a lot of trepidation.
Well, you have to worry about critical race theory. All this
exactly.
Happening.
Yeah.
And
nonsense.
We're at an epidemic.
And another thing you're going to hear, of course, as we approach January 6th, is how Republicans really want to overthrow the government violently and all this nonsense. And we're going to have to get through this because this is the only talking point that the progressives have. Think about it. So they want the spotlight on that, right?
Well, they're pushing that. It's all you see on the news now is the
insurrection. It's been a year, and yet they're still that's their big issue.
Right, because you got Liz Cheney and Azinger heading it up.
Yeah.
Their main issue is to try to find criminal charges against Donald Trump so that he can't run. That's their main issue, and to destroy the Republicans that are racist and everything else.
Yeah,
this is their whole ploy, and that's all they've got to work on. And the American people have to realize. It's just a game that they're trying to play.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty, dirty politics. They are the worst. They're no more longer the loyal opposition. They are now the Communist Party of the United States of America.
They're certainly trending that way.
It is.
Yeah. Gentlemen, it is always a pleasure to have you both on at the beginning of the year. Really enjoy the camaraderie and all of your thoughts. All right. We're going to say goodbye and... Angelo, I know we'll talk again. Andrew, I'll talk again with you on Wednesday, my friend.
You got it, buddy. Have a good day.
All right, guys. Thanks. Happy New Year.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Let us take our break. And when we come back, I'll talk a little bit about some censorship of some Republicans on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm a gonna raise a fuss. I'm a gonna raise a holler.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Back to the final segment of Freedom Works here on this Monday, January the 3rd. My God, 2022. God, we hope it's going to be better than last year. Well, got a couple of things going on with conservatives and getting censored again on these platforms. Facebook has permanently disabled the ad account of a conservative children's book publisher, claiming that Heroes of Liberty, that's the name of the group, Heroes of Liberty, which has published books about Amy Coney Barrett from the Supreme Court, former President Ronald Reagan, author, black political writer, and author Thomas Sowell. That's what they've been writing about. Well, Facebook says they have violated the company's rules against, quote, low quality or disruptive content, unquote, and have permanently locked their account. Here's what Heroes of Liberty said. The question is the children's biography of Ronald Reagan no longer permissible on Facebook? We don't know, but apparently promoting one may well kill a business. Now, why is it that they would count that out? It just doesn't make any sense, but Facebook says after a final review of your ad account, we confirm it does not comply with our advertising policies or other standards. You can no longer advertise with this ad account. In other words, advertising their books. And it asserts the account will remain disabled. Now, I'm trying to find out why they are saying that. I don't know. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. However, also, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, she is a Republican congresswoman from Georgia, and she's had her personal Twitter account permanently banned for apparently for spreading COVID-19 misinformation. It says here, we currently suspended Marjorie Taylor Greene for repeated violations of our virus misinformation policy. Now, her congressional Twitter account is still active, not her personal account. So I don't know. Why don't they suspend people like Maxine Waters, who told people to take to the streets and confront other people? They won't ban her. Or how about Kamala Harris and Ilhan Omar, who were propping up all the rioters? They don't ban them. Doesn't make much sense. Anyway, before we get to our top 10, we have a good one. I want to talk with Big Ed about Antonio Brown. Ed, first of all, the Bucks came back and won an exciting game, but it was overshadowed by the actions of Antonio Brown. I just wanted to get your thought on Antonio, but apparently he's no longer a Buck.
No, and actually he called and wanted to talk to you. He needs some airfare back from New York. The team wouldn't let him fly on the team plane.
No kidding.
No, they told him to get another flight.
They really?
Well, actually, they got him on another flight. He did not fly home with the team.
Okay, let's cut to the chase. The guy takes off his shirt and goes stomping off the field. But before that, he's waving and throwing his shirt. It sounds like he has a mental issue.
Yeah, he's got problems. Your coach asked him to go back in the game. He said his ankle was sore. No, I'm not going back. And he asked him again. He said no. And then the coach said, get out. So when he said get out, Antonio Brown took his pads off, threw his pads down, started to walk off the field, took his shirt off, threw his shirt into the stands, his gloves, and then marched off the field, waving to the crowd. He has a chemicals imbalance of some sort.
This is not the first time that Antonio Brown
but this
has been
is probably
trouble.
The
it's an indication of an ongoing mental issue.
Yeah, this
of
is
some
probably
sort.
The most public visual thing he's done.
It's very
to
sad.
Display it.
Took away from a great comeback.
Yeah, and he'll probably take some time off. Hopefully he'll get some help. And, and he'll be able to resume.
You think?
Somewhere? Yeah, somebody will take him
you
this year.
You think so? Really? Yeah. Would they? I'm wondering.
With the guarantee that he is taking his meds.
Yeah, but you can't guarantee. He can say that, but anyway, we wish Antonio Brown.
Yeah,
very best.
No need to pile on him. He's got
absolutely
a problem.
Not.
He's got a problem.
Agreed. All right, Ed. Do you remember our last show last year? We did the top 10 brightest states in America. Money-wise, magazine came up with it. They worked in conjunction, I guess, with, MoneyWise published it. Wallet Hub did the study. It considered both the educational attainment of adults age 25 or older and the quality of that education, and they came up with the top 10 brightest states. The brightest state, by the way, according to that thing, was Massachusetts. All right. Turnabout is fair play. Here are the top 10 dumbest states in this whole thing. Here we go. Number 10. Tennessee. And I hate to say that. I used to live there. I love the state. I know. Few students in the volunteer state are taking the initiative to continue their education, leading to a ranking of 41 out of 50 for that attainment. All right. Number 9. New Mexico. Poor old New Mexico. They get slapped down a lot out in New Mexico. New Mexico is known as the land of enchantment, but residents are likely disillusioned about the quality of education. It's ranked fourth worst in the country. It also has a higher share of adults without a high school diploma. All right. Number 8. Nearby Nevada. Studying in Nevada can be a bit of a gamble. Play on words.
Yeah, right.
It ranks 30th for quality of education. All right. Number 7. South Carolina. The quality of its education is considered the second worst in the country. The highest ranked school in South Carolina is Furman University, which came in at number 127. Okay. Number 6. Kentucky. The quality of education in the Bluegrass State is only a bit below the median, but its attainment score hits a sour note. Kentucky has a substantial rate of high school dropouts. Okay, number 5. Alabama, another state I lived in. The state ranks extremely low in both educational attainment and quality of education. 6th worst and 8th worst, respectively. Auburn University is the best school, according to the, as far as education, and that's where I lived in Auburn, but it's only a number 166. All right, number 4. Arkansas, the natural state. Did you know that the nickname of Arkansas is the natural state?
Natural.
What the hell is that? They are an unnaturally low number of degrees. It has the third lowest percentage of adults with a bachelor's degree. Number 3. Hey, we're all in the South here. Kind of embarrassing. Louisiana. Yeah, well, it seems student life not so sweet in the Sugar State. Its overall educational attainment is the third worst in the country. Number 2, West Virginia. Too many of these kids go into the coal mines. Probably should go to college. It ranked dead last in the country for educational attainment. West Virginia also has the second lowest percentage of residents with a graduate degree. All right, Ed.
This seemed to be picking on the South. I'll go with Mississippi.
Bingo. You are right. Did you cheat and look
at
the...
No, I did not. I know you did. Mississippi's...
Mississippi always comes in last.
That and New Jersey.
Mississippi always comes in... Yeah.
That and New Jersey.
Yeah. Taxes, New Jersey. For some reason, Mississippi gets a bum rap, but dead last in quality of education, second to last in both educational attainment and average university quality. All right. Well, Elvis came from Tupelo. It can't be all bad.
Yeah.
All right, thank you so very much. We will be back on Wednesday. Please remember that freedom does work.